How many of you all knew that hymn? Whoa, wasn't that a great hymn? Oh my gosh. Of course, you know this without saying, I love hymns. I love music. But I was speaking with Elaine this morning. I think it was Elaine this morning. And I told her that we were talking about having my granddaughter here last Sunday and how she sang. And Kimberly sings with the praise team at her church on occasion. And Avonlea, they have a separate whole worship service for the youth. And Avonlea has been participating in that praise team, which does a grandfather's heart wonderful. I'm sure you can attest to that. However, I'm saddened because they don't do the hymns. They're at a praise and worship, which is wonderful for them. And of course, for her, she was a bit of a fish out of water in our service because of all the hymns. Like, what are these words? I've never heard this before. The sad part of that is there's such a wonderful message in the words of our good old hymns. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. Have you ever marveled at an individual and how they have overcome some type of limitation that life has handed them? Whether from birth or an accident in life, it's amazing how we as living creatures compensate for the loss. Probably one of the most famous persons around this topic who achieved so much is Helen Keller. Helen Keller, yeah. Becoming deaf and blind at what is believed to be the age of 19 months due to a bout with scarlet fever or meningitis, it is absolutely amazing what she accomplished. Not only did she learn to survive in society, she became the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. She went on to become an author, a political activist, and a lecturer. She traveled around the world giving talks. She met every president from Grover Cleveland to Lyndon B. Johnson and was friends with such famous figures as Alexander Graham Bell, Charlie Chaplin, and Mark Twain. She received from President Johnson the Presidential Medal of Freedom, one of the two highest honors bestowed on any citizen in the United States of America. It is absolutely amazing to read what she accomplished. However, none of this would have been possible if it were not for Ann Sullivan. Ann Sullivan was the person who took tremendous amounts of time to teach Helen to see with her hands and to talk without ever hearing sounds. In fact, many of you may have participated in a play built around the story of Ann Sullivan and Helen Keller called The Miracle Worker. Any of y'all ever do that play? We did it in high school, The Miracle Worker. It's often put on by high schools as the annual play from a drama department, and I'm constantly amazed at the will and determination of the human spirit. Many of you know I'm somewhat of an avid barbecuer. Or smoker, and I don't mean the cigarettes. Let's talk about smoking meat, just so that we're all clear. It takes time to prepare meat, to cut it up, to trim it, wash it, marinate it, soak it, and then get it onto the smoker, which I have a big green egg, which I think is the champion of all smokers. This week I was watching TV, and since Judy's on a trip, I was watching a lot of food shows. I mean, I love the Food Network. Anybody in here love the food? I love watching the Food Network. I love learning how to do little things. Judy doesn't like the Food Network, but I love it. She watches Blue Planet and National Geographic and those things. I was watching TV. There's a show I get hooked on, especially when they're running back-to-back episodes. I'm sure none of you have had that problem where you turn it on and it's back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Next thing you know, it's midnight. You're like, oh my gosh, I got work to do tomorrow. But the show is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Anybody ever watch that show? I love that. Oh, you're all grinning. I love that show. Guy Ferretti, he goes to all these little places around the United States where they have really good food or they're known for this or they're known for that. In fact, I have an app on my phone. Believe it or not, I have an app on my phone that when we're traveling in the coach and we go to stop somewhere, I can pull it up and say, has Guy been here? Is there any restaurant we should go try out while we're here? I know you can't tell I love food, you know. But God blessed me with great taste buds. I'll just leave it at that. It's a great show. And he goes around, and there's this one episode that I was watching this week, and I noticed that the chef, you know, in the shots, you kind of could never really see his hands. You know, whenever a guy was talking to him, his hands were like on his hips or something like that. And it was just peculiar, and I got to looking more closely. And as I watched further, I realized that he was missing what appeared to be his three middle fingers on both hands. Now, I don't know if he was born that way, to be honest, or an accident happened or whatever. But it was amazing because as I watched him prepare the foods, you wouldn't have known he was missing three fingers. I mean, he was amazing to watch him take the meat, trim it up, chop up all the vegetables, put it all together, mix all the spices together. And yet, he had not the use of maybe six fingers, three on each hand, as he was doing it. Turns out that he and his wife, who had this restaurant, also had a butcher shop. Have any of y'all ever butchered meat or trimmed meat or cut meat? That's difficult. That's hard work. I mean, you take a side of a pig or something and you start butchering it, and yet he's a butcher. In fact, one of the things that they've become famous for is in their butchery is, oddly enough, a lot of people today don't know where cuts of meat come from out of a cow or a pig. It's kind of a lost art. And they were talking about the fact that most people are afraid to ask, to talk to the butcher. Like, you know, I don't know why we're this way as humans. We hate to appear stupid. Do you ever feel that way? You know, you don't want to ask a question because they'll think I'm stupid, you know. And so people that go to the butchery, hey, give me 6 pounds of ground chuck. Well, you want 90-10, you want 80-20, you want 70-30, or you want some that's got sirloin mixed in it. Or, yeah, you know. Because we just don't know. They have made it their life's work to spend time explaining the cuts of meat to people and what the cut of meat is best for and whether you cut against the grain or with the grain based on what you're wanting to do with the meat. And it's just kind of their heart and their passion that they reach out to people. Yet, here he is, like this, cutting and butchering meat. It was amazing to me to watch because you couldn't tell he had anything wrong. He had overcome. Our society has come a long way for individuals with disabilities to be able to participate and contribute. In the days of Jesus, as we read in the New Testament this morning, those individuals were reliant on the generosity of others to care for them. The blind man on the side of the road to Jericho was begging for money or food just to survive. You see, being blind limited him, and he relied on others to just help him survive. Any of you all been on that road to Jericho? I hate to say this. Oh my gosh, what a phenomenal. If you ever go to Israel, you need to take the road down to Jericho from Jerusalem, either down or coming back. There's another whole story that was on that road. Do you remember what the other story was? The man that was beaten by robbers? Yep. Anyway, okay. Yet he, the blind man, heard something was going on in the crowd around him, and they were passing by, and he cried out, "What's going on? What's going on?" He can't see. And when he heard that it was Jesus passing by, his faith urged him to cry out to see Jesus. Back to Luke 18:36. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, even though he was told to be quiet by the crowd, in fact, it says they rebuked him, which means it was more likely they were more stern than just saying, "Shh, be quiet. Don't disturb." It was more like, "Shut up!" That's probably what it was. "This is Jesus. What, you're a blind man. You rely on everybody else to survive. Leave him alone. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. You leave him alone." His faith made him cry out even louder, "Thou Son of David." You see, he wasn't just crying out to a prophet or a priest or the latest miracle worker passing through to heal him. He knew who Jesus was. And he knew through his faith that Jesus could heal him. But notice that he didn't say what he wanted. He didn't say, "Heal me, heal me, heal me." He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped everything and asked that he be brought to him. Verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Only when the man was brought before Christ did he say what he wanted. You see, he knew that Christ could heal him. He knew he could heal him, and it wasn't a gamble or a chance. His faith had revealed to him that Christ could do it. But he didn't heal him like the others he had healed. Jesus didn't heal him by touching him or creating mud and paste and putting on his eyes. He didn't touch him at all from what we can tell in the scriptures. He just announced to everyone he's healed. His faith made him whole. Verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Now we don't read any more about him after that in Luke's gospel. But it does say that he followed Jesus and glorified God. You see, he had heightened senses in that he knew something was going on, and his faith pursued him to seek what was going on and then to come to Jesus. They say we have five basic senses. Do you know them all five? Seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. Five senses. Do you know there are four more? How many of y'all learned that there are four more? When I was in school, there were only five. So I guess they've discovered four more. And I may mispronounce them. But there's thermoception, the sense of heat or absence of heat on the skin. Equilibrioception, the sense of balance. Nociception, perception of pain from the skin, joints, or body organs. This does not include the brain. The brain doesn't have that ability of nociception. And proprioception, body awareness. This is the unconscious knowledge of where body parts are without being able to see or feel them. For instance, if you're in a cave, if you ever been in a cave and they turn the lights out so you can see what total blackness, if you held up five fingers, could you see them? No. But you knew you were holding up five fingers. Right? Or you can tell if you're hanging upside down or if you're leaning to one side. Okay, that's proprioception, where your body parts are. Have you ever noticed that if you eliminate a sense, that other senses become more acute? Many of you know I have a recording studio, and sometimes when I'm in the recording studio and I'm listening very intently on something, I'm mixing an album or I'm listening, many times I'll close my eyes and listen. And it's amazing, just by closing my eyes, how much better my hearing becomes. Now you think, well, Arby, you're not really looking at anything, so why are your eyes distracting you? Because your brain is constantly processing whatever the optic nerve is seeing and sending to the brain. So as soon as I close my eyes and I start listening, I can hear the little nuances of sound. I can tell the difference of an oboe and an English horn, of a French horn or a trombone, of an alto or a tenor, just by closing my eyes. Because your hearing then becomes more acute to the sound that you're listening to. When you were in school, perhaps science class, did you ever do the blindfold taste test? Did they do that when you were in school, where they'd take a student and blindfold them? Then they would tell them, okay, this is a slice of orange, and give them a slice of lemon. You know, or this is pineapple, and tell them it's an orange. And it was amazing, when you couldn't see or smell, sometimes they cover your nose up so you can smell it, and they told you it's pineapple, you'd taste it and say, yeah, that's pineapple. Because you're fooling your senses. You're fooling your senses to what was really going on. You know, a sidestep. It is amazing to me when I study senses and things like that, that people still believe we just happened and that we came from apes. I mean, think about that. That we evolved out of apes. Yet apes have never evolved farther than where they are today. Yet we can, anyway, I'll stop. I'll get back on. Maybe that's a message for another day. It amazes me how wonderfully made we are by our Creator. Perhaps our faith should be one of our senses. For it is our faith that augments all our other senses. It is our faith that eliminates the seeing is believing humanistic characteristic that we all have. It is our faith that eludes the normal senses. It is our faith that confirms we are not alone, that God is always with us. It is our faith that can direct us in place of our senses. Just as the blind beggar's faith told him what to do. One of my favorite quotes is, "Character is what you do when no one is watching." Character is what you do when no one is watching. Perhaps faith is what you cling to when your other senses are distracted or confused. May we all have heightened senses that are controlled by our faith in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, our senses encompass so many things that it tears against our faith. May we learn that our faith is superior to our senses, that our faith should govern our senses. Father, may we go forward this morning with heightened senses, and may our faith manage and control what we hear, what we see, what we touch, what we taste, and what we smell. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Christian, Christian, follow me." Let's stand together as we sing.